But today's message is part 8, and we are going to be talking a little bit about some of what you just mentioned, Justin, because today is really about drugs, supplements, and food. Those three subjects are about 20 hours worth of teaching. We're going to condense it into 1 hour, as all of this series has been. Hopefully it'll get you to start doing a little digging and go deeper on your own. We're going to barely touch on some of these subjects, but they're important subjects, and they're subjects you need to understand. And I've got bad news for some of you today. The bad news is, and my wife will tell me whenever you're saying something to a group of people, you never tell them about the bad news, but today I'm going to tell you about the bad news. You're going to walk out of here with no excuses left for some of the things that you've wanted to be in ignorance about most of your life. You've wanted to be in that state of ignorance is bliss, I don't want to hear it. And now's your chance to run out the door, because once I tell you, you can't use that as an excuse anymore, right? So it's up to you. Do what you want to do. But I am going to tell you this before we get started. We started out the series by telling you that that these medical doctors, primarily the ones that are believers, Christians, they have studied this out, along with some unique non-Christians who actually want to know the truth, which is very few people. And they've studied this out, and they found that 87 to 95% of all diseases are caused in the mind. You remember first week we shared that with you. So today we're going to take a look at what about the other 5 to 13%? How are they caused, or how could they possibly be caused? Because we spent a lot of time on the larger percentage, and now it's fair that we give this a shot too. And before I want to start, we shared this in week 4 or 5, but I want to touch on it a little bit more. We have the one story in the entire Bible of the blind man who was born blind, and Yeshua states that he was born that way for the Father's glory. Now, we've got millions of Bibles in print all over the world. Every single story in the Bible, every single recanting of someone's life is well known throughout the community of believers, people that study the Bible. God doesn't need to use those examples again. Could he? Yes, that's up to him. But if you're banking on that, I think you're wishing for a lottery ticket. So while I'm not going to say that God can't do that, he can't have somebody set aside for the purpose of glorifying him through a miraculous healing, I am going to say you're betting on a long shot. And we're much better off if we focus on the things we know cause the majority of diseases than focus on these other smaller issues. And that's what we're going to try to do today. So I didn't want to discourage you, but we're going to take a look at something Jeremiah wrote in chapter 17. If you want to turn there, you can. Because we're starting this session out today with prescription drugs. And, I mean, most of you are semi-aware or fully aware that prescription drugs can be a problem, that possibly they aren't doing the good they were intended to do. So we're going to take a look at what Jeremiah has to say, because I think it all ties in. And Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 5 says, "Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from Yahweh." Over in verse 7, it says, "But blessed are those who trust in Yehovah and have made Yehovah their hope and their confidence." So what I want to focus on with those scriptures is this. If you're placing your hope in the doctors, you're wasting your time as a believer. Going to a doctor is not the problem. It's placing all your hope in him, because you can't hope in two different areas. You can't say, "I'm going to the doctor's going to save me, then I'll give all the glory to God." I think we'll understand that he's not getting a whole lot of glory out of that. When he does the healing, when he walks you through a transformation in your life that changes you from the inside out, and that affects you, your family, your children, that's something God can receive glory from. Man's solution is always going to be found in the doctors and in the drugstores. I mean, it's always the way it is. Doctors go to school and they're taught how to prescribe drugs, how to treat symptoms. God's solutions are always found in the Bible. There's a reason why the woman with the issue of blood spent all that she had, 12 years, and it says she was under much pressure in Mark. There's three different versions, I believe. I think Matthew, Mark, and Luke have it. She was put under much duress by those doctors, meaning she was worse off than when she went to him with the problem. 12 years, got nothing. She went to the Messiah, and she was healed instantly. We have to understand that we often put our hope in doctors or in their drugs, but it's not going to get us anywhere. And throughout this teaching, there's probably, I'm not sure, but I think there's three different times where I'm going to give you a disclaimer. Counting right now, maybe four. And it's for a purpose. We are not saying all drugs are evil, and we're not saying that all doctors are evil, and we're not saying you shouldn't go to them at times. But they should never be the first thing you think of when you're feeling ill or sick. When you're in an accident, you're in a car wreck, they automatically take you to the hospital. That's smart. When you wake up and you're just kind of feeling a little bit off and it's not something that where your chest is caving in, first thing people say is, oh my gosh, I better go to the scheduled appointment at the doctor next week. I wonder if this is happening. My grandfather had that, or my uncle has this. The first thing we do is we think of the doctors. The last thing we think of doing is what the New Testament tells us to do, and that's call the elders of the church. But the elders of the church here are going to ask you to examine yourselves. We're going to say, let's take a look at what's going on in your life. We will pray over you, but it's just not a cure-all. And that's what it's become in the Christian world, is a cure-all. What drives our current economy today, unfortunately, is a disease culture. Let's face it. We have more disease, or diseases, named diseases, in the United States, and probably worldwide, but a lot of the stats I looked up online are in the USA, than at any time in history. And when technology is at its greatest, when we've invented cures for many common things, why do we have so many more diseases? Now, they can treat a lot of things much better than they could 50 or 100 years ago, don't get me wrong. But are they curing? Or are they just masking the symptoms? Poor health is at an all-time high and disease is rampant. And we'd have to be blind to the stats if we didn't agree with that. And I don't have a bunch of stats for you. I'm just going to ask you to trust me on that or go check it out online. A simple search online can find out that that's the truth. What we do today is you have a diagnosis from the doctor. Then comes a drug, prescription. And if that doesn't work, what's next? Usually surgery. And I want to focus on the vast majority of times today that none of those are needed. There are times where they're needed. There's times where surgery is needed. And there's times where drugs, if used short-term, maybe a one-time only or a very short-term purpose to accomplish a goal to heal you, to get you better, there's nothing wrong with that. But when it's prescribed as a lifetime drug, they're not addressing the issues. Does that make sense? So, we've become a drug-oriented society. Christians aren't any better than the rest of the world. They're on just as many drugs, just as many supplements. I don't know what the average is, but I remember used to watch my dad in his 80s line up all the pills on the counter at night, and I just used to shake my head. He's like, well, I'm 81 years old. Why would I change now? It's working. Well, what did Edie say that they spent a month? $1,000 a month? $1,000 a month. How's that working for him? He was broke a lot. Let's take a look at what the scriptures have to say, because that's our primary goal here, right? So we're going to read two scriptures. If you want to turn there, Galatians chapter 5, and then we're going to go to Revelations chapter 18. Because we have to understand exactly what this is talking about. And we can't just flippantly say, well, the Greek word means this, and so we need to stay away from it. We need to really understand what's going on. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. We're going to read all three chapters, or I'm sorry, all three verses. And it says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery. We're going to come back to that because that's not the Mickey Mouse with the wizard hat on. Sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want. Revelation 18:23 says, "For your merchants were the greatest in the world, and they deceived the nations with their sorceries." The word sorcery and sorceries is the same word in the Greek. And it's Strong's 5331 and it's pharmakia. I'm going to read you the full definition, not just one that I kind of like that fits what we're teaching. I'm going to read you all four that come out of the Strong's. And Strong's isn't the end-all, be-all, but guess what? The Greek Mounts Dictionary and some of the other people who have put together dictionaries of Greek, they all line up with this, using slightly different words, but it lines up. Number one, the use or the administering of drugs. Users and providers. That's what number one's saying. Number two, poisoning. This stuff for thousands of years was considered poisoning. Types of, you know, mixing together potions that most of the time were just selling snake oil, selling things that don't work. Number three, sorcery, magical arts, often found in connection with idolatry and fostered by it. Four is a metaphorical definition, the deceptions and the seductions of idolatry. Now, what could be more idolatrous than my father bowing down to 32 prescription drugs every single day? Revelation clearly tells us the nations were deceived by the pharmaceutical companies. The pharmaceuticals, the people that are selling it, and then the people that willingly are using it. Everyone involved in this corrupt system, in this horrifying industry, has to take some responsibility. There was a point in time 10 years ago when I was in the Christian world that I thought, man, I went into the wrong business. I could have gone into pharmaceuticals and be making $500,000-$700,000 a year, working 30 hours a week. Today, obviously, I'm grateful that I don't have that, but the bottom line is they don't know. I'm not criticizing someone if they were put into this profession, but the bottom line, we know now what this is referring to, and we have to pay attention to it. 1900 years ago, the book of Revelation was penned by John. It was given to him by inspiration by our Messiah. And now, 1900 years later, we can finally, for the first time in history, see how this is a possibility. Right? 1960s. I'm Charlie's age. Little kid. I'm watching Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. 1 hour show probably had four or five commercials, and they were wholesome. It was like Leave It to Beaver selling, you know, milk. Today you watch a 1 hour show, and what do you get? You get 20 minutes of commercial, which means 40 30-second commercials, of which half of them, roughly, are drug companies. We don't watch enough TV to do this, but I almost wanted to watch 1 hour of TV a night for a week just to count. Not just the amount of times they run them, but how many different drugs there are. Yeah. It's shocking. 50 years ago, we could have never even have thought of this. And here we are today in a society that is inundated and overwhelmed with it. Anybody want to guess when the first prescription drug was put on TV? I'm just going to have 2 minutes of fun. 1983.
Really?
And the drug was Rufin. Not to be mistaken by you hippies as roofies. That's a black market drug. 1983, Rufin was introduced and put on TV. From that point until 1997, there was a huge battle in Congress because it wasn't really technically allowed. They got away with it with some creative advertising. Today, in the world, how many countries are pushing pharmaceuticals on TV? Three.
Really?
But guess what? We're one of them. Okay. New Zealand started first in 1981. United States made it okay or legal in 1997, and Brazil joined them in 2008. In fact, I'm going to give you a quote from a congressman during this battle between 1983 and 1997 when it got legalized. Here's the quote. These ads almost certainly encourage the unnecessary use of these drugs. Now, that statement doesn't shock any of you, I would say. Who it came from might. Ted Kennedy, a raging liberal. But at that time, he was smart enough to understand what was going on and to understand it wasn't good for us. As you all know, the lobbyists have won out. They're spending billions of dollars pushing their agendas. We have no idea what goes on behind the scenes. Are there briberies? Probably. Can't prove it. It doesn't matter. They got their ways pushed through, and now not only is it allowed on TV, it pretty much dominates the airways. There's a patient comes into the emergency room with a heart attack or asthma. He's at risk of dying if he doesn't have certain drugs. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the drugs that are pushed on people as a way of life. It said back in Galatians, what did it say? Those who practice. It doesn't mean somebody who had to take a prescription drug one time. It's people who get addicted to looking for answers outside of the Creator. People who are addicted to drugs that aren't really helping you, because we're finding out that many of these drugs just mask the problem and create more problems. And guess what? When you have a drug creating another problem, there's no cure to that unless you remove that drug and start getting your body back in line. My dad had so much junk going into his body. Where do you start with a diagnosis of that? There's no possible way. So to put this all in a perspective, when doctors prescribe or when patients take prescription drugs on a chronic basis, meaning they just accept it as a lifestyle, without wanting to get into the root of the problem, and that's a doctor problem and it's a patient problem too. Because let's face it, most of us don't want to get into the root of the problem. Some of us even know how to stop it, but we prefer the drug because it's an easier choice, right? Somebody had a toe squashed. I don't care who it is. That's not my job up here to worry about that. It's true. Some people choose bad decisions they know aren't healthy for them because it's easier, and we all know that. But here's something as a food for thought, because the Bible tells us, what is the penalty for witchcraft and sorcery in the Bible, in the Old Testament? Death. It's a death penalty. So, what do you figure, what profession ranks very high, it's not number one, ranks very high in deaths early in life, meaning their mortality rate is not what it ought to be?
Doctors.
Doctors. Now, they don't have a particular list that tells you exactly where it fits in, but they did a scale on it, and they are unusually in the high end of the scale. I think the list is too long to try to figure out what number they fit in. The very people who we trust with our lives, that we look upon, and we put them up on this pedestal, they're dying at record numbers. You go into hospitals today, and when we have to go to a hospital to meet with somebody or to visit somebody, do you guys see the epitome of health walking around that hospital? My goodness gracious. Looks like all they do is eat sausage all day long. It's unbelievable. Hey, sometimes reality is funny, sometimes it's not. I mean, we go in and we're just amazed that so many people have no regard for their own body when they're there to help other people. But are we any better? No. Doctors at one time were called healers. A lot of doctors went into business 100 years ago because they had a compassion, almost like a ministry. They wanted to help people. They were driven to, because, you know, what did a doctor make 100 years ago? Two chickens and a goat? Doctors weren't rich like they are today. They may have lived well. You know, it was a worthy profession. They had to go to school a long time. But they weren't wealthy like they are today. It wasn't a race to see who can get the 40-foot yacht. It was a different world. They went into it with the idea of helping people, but today, that's sadly not the case the majority of the time. And there are the odd doctors who really do love and care for people. Don't get me wrong. But as a whole, the medical industry has become disease management, not curing and healing people. Disease management means prescribing drugs so the person is artificially maintained and manipulated by the drug But the underlying cause of the problem is never addressed. It's never dealt with. There's no money in dealing with that, but there's a lot of money in dealing with your symptoms for life. If you cure a diabetic, you may make $700-800, I don't know. But if you keep them hooked for life, you can make $200,000-$500,000, depending on the insurance company. You see how it's created a mentality of money? It's a cash cow business. Again, prescription drugs is a single act or for a purpose. You go have your wisdom tooth out, you're going to want to have a Motrin, maybe for a day or two. You don't need a Motrin for a week or 2 weeks. People do get addicted to that. People do get to the point where they want that on a regular basis. I had my wisdom tooth out, what, a year ago, right? I took one the first night, and I didn't even really need it, but I wanted to make sure I didn't wake up in the middle. I was so miserable, I never took one after that. I can't stand this stuff. But there might be a time where you have to have it. But if you think you're going to get some sort of a lifelong, you know, addiction to this and it's going to help you, it's not. What it does is it evacuates you from reality. Sadly, there are many adults who smoke pot today. And the primary reason they do it is for a temporary escape from reality. That's all there is to it. Now, I'm not going to argue with you whether somebody drinks for an escape from reality. If that's the only reason you're drinking, then it's no difference. But the bottom line is, we have a temporary escape that comes crashing down on us when it wears off. We have to avoid that as believers in the Messiah. We have to walk as a holy and set apart people. So I'm not trying to tell you that you need to toss your drugs in the garbage tonight. Don't go home and throw your drugs away. The problem is many of these drugs cause severe side effects in your body. They're not healthy for you, but if you just stop them instantly, it could be far worse, and it could be a toxic shock to your body. So what I am saying is, if you feel compelled to make a change in your life, start praying that God would give you more faith. Remember in the New Testament where the man says, "Help me in my unbelief." Go to the Father and ask Him, "Help me in my unbelief, Father. I'm so used to, for the last 20, 30 years, running to the doctors and the herbs and all this stuff. Please help me, Father. Help me in my unbelief." But have a goal and a mission to break off of it. Do it under doctor care. If you have a doctor that puts you on those drugs and you're not really crazy about them, get a different doctor. There are some doctors that are good doctors. There are some that are more holistically driven, that actually want to help you, that aren't interested in keeping you as a lifelong patient. Get another doctor so that you can get weaned off this stuff, but do it gently and properly under care. Many people are on a wide variety of medical drugs, but these drugs carry with them a lot of side effects. Has anybody ever heard, you know, different side effects that go along with drugs? In reality, some of these side effects, they're basically, you know, pardon my language, they're opening Pandora's box of hell. Because that's where it comes from. It comes directly from the pit. And Pandora's box basically is opening up side effects that you can't deal with, that will cause problems in your body that could be permanent if you didn't have the Messiah, if you didn't have God to heal you and really restore your body. These possible side effects often are accompanied by the phrase, "Taking Jumanix may have a loss of limb, you may fall asleep while driving, you may have experienced dizziness, loss of bodily functions, or sudden death." Yes. Who on earth would want to buy that? But they make billions. Listen to the commercials next time you have the idiot box on. Listen to them and see how many of them mention at the very end there, "or possible death." Really fast, by a guy with a better voice than mine. How they sell a pill is a shocker to me. You may be suffering from what you think is a disease, but it might just be a side effect from all the junk you're taking. Yeah. And again, you can't find a cure for something that has come from a pill that you shouldn't be taking to begin with, that's masking a problem that you're not dealing with. That probably didn't make a whole lot of sense, but you know what I mean, right? Okay. If you want to, you can go to the pharmacy My wife's research said that they, at the pharmacies, they're required to have a book there that lists all these different side effects and possibilities of these different drugs. So even if you miss the guy speaking at 90 miles an hour on TV, you can go and look this up. They have to have it there because it's required by law. Go look at how damaging what the doctor's got you on is. No point in trying to cure that which is coming as a side effect from another drug that's not really doing the job anyway. Let's take a look today at the four top killers of mankind, of people. Actually, the three. The three top killers, and we're going to talk about them worldwide and in America, both. I decided to separate them out. Worldwide, the number one cause of death is heart disease, and it's the same in the United States. Heart disease is number one. Number two worldwide is stroke, but in the United States, it's cancer. Number three is the same worldwide and in the United States, and it's called chronic respiratory disease. And chronic respiratory disease is going to come with a little but, a caveat. It's stated in the United States that 150,000 people per year die from chronic respiratory disease. But Johns Hopkins wants to argue with that statistic because they say, according to their studies, that 250,000 people a year die from medical doctors and poor practices conducted at their facilities, whether it's the doctor's offices or the hospitals. And according to Johns Hopkins, take it for what it's worth. Listen, it's not normal for a medical facility or a research facility like Johns Hopkins to come out with a stat that goes against the mainstream.
Exactly.
So if you want to argue with this, there's no point for them to come out with this. If anything, this would get them in hot water with just about everybody. But Johns Hopkins states that medical mistakes that can lead to death range from surgical complications that go unrecognized to mix up with doses or types of medications that patients receive. So this is the third largest cause of death in the United States. Doctor error, medical error, whatever you want to call it. 250,000 people per year. That's not even talking about the number we're going to talk about in a little bit of the people who are permanently damaged from improper diagnoses and drugs. This is the people that are dying from it, 250,000 people a year in this country. Illegal drugs, they don't even crack the top 10. Maybe we need to refocus our war on drugs, huh? We got this war on drugs been going on for forever. Nothing happens, nothing changes, but yet we turn a blind eye. The Congress doesn't want to hear it when it comes to prescription drugs. We are told that billions of dollars a year are spent on research to find cures for things like heart disease, cancer, HIV, and other major killers, aren't we? Many of you, in fact, if I asked you to raise your hands, it'd probably be almost everybody, has been solicited by a major charity that is doing research in these areas, right?
Yeah.
We got the Susan B. Komen Foundation. How bad can that look on the outside? They got a pink bow, for crying out loud. That's everybody's cozy up to a pink bow, right? $400 million they took in 2011, which is the only stats I can find, yet 21% of that went to research for cancer. The executives, however, live quite the lavish lifestyle, flying around in private jets, vacationing in Tahiti and all those kinds of stuff. The salaries for the executives are massive, and they have a lot of them. The American Heart Association had a stat for 2014. They took in $756 million. Almost a third of that was spent on salaries. $223 million in salaries. And the executive salaries are ridiculous. So I want to forget about where they spend their money, because all it's going to do is get you mad. We made a determination years ago, we aren't giving to any of those charities. The only charities we give to are ones that support this book. And the things in this book that money is supposed to go to. And guess what? There's only three: widows, poor, and the orphans. That's it. That's all you're going to find in the book. Widows, the poor, and the orphans. So, if we forget about where they spend their money, if we try not to get angry about that, Let's focus on this. They come to us and they're asking for billions of dollars, right? We know how much they take in. It's massive amounts of money. Now, over the lifespan of their existence, the American Cancer Society has been around, I think, 40 plus years. Maybe Susan B. Komen, I think, is a little newer. But is it a stretch to say that the top 10 charities, these massive corporations, have taken in $1 trillion in the last 40 years? It's not a stretch at all. It's probably way over that. $1 trillion, are we any closer to the cure for cancer?
No.
To the cure for HIV? To the cure for diabetes? They don't want a cure, people. I don't care what they tell you. They don't want a cure. That new commercial out now is all these people, cancer, we're going to kick your butt. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. They're not even trying to. They don't want to. They know how to solve cancer. They know how to kill it. They know if they remove certain things from your diet, cancer cannot survive. But there's no money in it. And you can't dry up a $500 million a year worth of donations on all these lavish lifestyles by curing something. All they're trying to do is prevent you from having pain while you go through it. They're trying to make it a little more comfortable for you. I know you guys don't, some of you don't like hearing this, but it's the truth. Most of those companies, now some of those people in the companies, in the charities, are well-meaning. They don't know that they're being deceived. They don't know that they're not really trying to solve it. I'm not trying to say everybody's a crook. That's like saying everybody that's still in the church is corrupt. Absolutely not. Some of those people are well-meaning and really think they're doing a good job, but the bottom line, it's not working. A large portion of taxpayer money goes towards road safety for prevention of accidents. You know, why do we keep our roads up to date? Because we don't want accidents. We don't want people hitting potholes, swerving off the road and hitting a pylon and killing themselves. We do this, however, the most significant killers in this country, and when it comes to prescription drugs, we turn a blind eye. We don't want to hear it. Even as people, we hear about how corrupt the charities are, but we don't want to hear it. You know, my mother died in 1977 of breast cancer, and I've been given every year. You don't want to hear how corrupt they are. That's up to you. What you do with it when you walk out of these doors is up to you. We're better at treating people, but we're not curing anybody. And if we're going to face reality, these people don't want to cure anything. A recent statistic said that 2 million people per year are permanently damaged by the side effects of improperly prescribed FDA drugs. Improperly prescribed. They're legal. The doctors prescribed them to you. You thought you were doing the right thing, but it wasn't what your body needed. 2 million people a year are permanently damaged in some way or form. Now, you know this woman is not my favorite person in the world, but every once in a while she gets things right. I'm not talking about Hillary. Oprah Winfrey. She actually, in one of her programs years ago, took on the pharmaceutical companies when she found out these very same stats. She basically said on the program that the amount of people who were being killed by these drugs that are legal but they're being given to people improperly, the amount is the equivalent of a jet, a 747 jet full of people crashing and dying and killing everybody on board every day of the year. Now, that's 450 to 500 people per day, every single day. If that was happening, if it was happening once a week, we'd be in an uproar. The FHA would cancel all flights. They'd figure something out. It would be an uproar beyond in epic proportions. But when it has to do with the drugs and the amount of money being made, nobody says a word. That's what we're faced with. The bottom line is, if you've watched TV lately and you've seen the commercials, you understand this is a reality. I'm not telling you anything new. So if you're taking chronic medication right now, this is not to bring you under condemnation or judgment. Most likely you weren't aware of it, or you weren't aware of the scope of things. What I am telling you you need to do is you need to get on your knees. You need to ask the Father to lead you and guide you on how to get out of it. And I would suggest that you need to do that with prayer, And you need to do it under a doctor's supervision, and preferably a doctor who really wants you to get better. If you need to find one of those doctors, there's several people in here. I know my wife knows a holistic doctor. Christiana might know a doctor. There are some. They're hard to find, but there are some that truly do want to help you and get you off of the drugs you're on. See them afterwards if that's you. Do it with wisdom. Don't shock your body. Don't just try to cold turkey it. Not unless you hear an audible voice from heaven and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt it's the voice of the Heavenly Father. The bottom line is many drugs alter the chemical state in your body. We all are aware of that. And the result is your body becomes dependent on those drugs. Your body changes on the inside and it makes a draw towards that drugs. It's the same with nicotine. It's the same with alcohol when you let it go to the extent where people get to where they're drawn by it. So you have to wean yourself off of this under the supervision of a professional. Now, could God choose to heal you instantly? Of course he can. He can choose to do it however he sees. But most likely, the diseases we're talking about here, which are bad choices, and we're going to get into the food in a few minutes, but it all ties together. Would it make more sense for God to allow you to walk through a healing path where you're making changes in your life and he sees you willing to go along with it versus the instant healing? He could choose to do it how he wants to do it. But we have to be willing to let him do it the way he wants to instead of us saying, well, this is the way I want you to heal me. That's when we get in trouble, right? So another concern we have today outside of the pharmaceutical drugs is the herbs and the supplement industry, which includes vitamins. Boy, we're going to step on some toes now, aren't we? The herbs and the vitamin supplement industry is a $21 billion a year industry. Tiny compared to pharmaceutical drugs. Minuscule. But $21 billion is gigantic compared to most industries. It's huge. And guess what? It's unregulated. Now, in some ways, that's a good thing because our regulations can be corrupt. But the bottom line is, when it's unregulated, we have a problem because there doesn't have to be any testing. There doesn't have to be any documentation proving that this stuff works. As we go through just a couple examples, I'm going to show you what I mean by that. And we're not saying all of them are bad. There are some good things out there. But we as a society, we've become addicted to finding the next thing that we can become addicted to. We want the quick fix. What will fix me right now? What can I just start taking and everything's going to be better tomorrow? That doesn't exist outside of the Word of God. If that's what you want, you better go to the Word of God to find it. So, do some of these supplements work? Vitamins work? I remember a story that I was told probably 15 years ago, as long before I met Cornelia. And it was a gentleman who owned a large waste manufacturing company that was heavily involved in porta-potties and renting them out. $1 million company, made tons of money. And he started studying vitamins and nutritional supplements because he wanted to take care of himself. And he had heard that somebody said that a lot of vitamins and a lot of these supplements don't do any good. They just pass right through you. So he got a brilliant idea. This is a tiny bit gross, but I'm going to try to be as clean as I can. He got a brilliant idea. He said, I'll go to my own company because when you process waste, it has to be done in a certain way. It has to be done in a sanitary way so that, the EPA is pretty strict on that stuff. So he went to the place where they screen out where the porta potties are emptied. Decided to have a look. What he found is that he saw a lot of small tubular-shaped things that looked a lot like pills. He took a closer look, and he discovered that many of them, not all, but many of them, you could still see the writing of the name right on the vitamin. Now, if you could still read the name on the outside of the vitamin, how much of that vitamin do you think went into your body?
Zero.
Many prescription drugs are made from herbs. The Food and Drug Administration doesn't regulate that, so they will use that to skirt around some issues. And like I said, the problem is I learned a long time ago, if you want to find testing that's accurate, you have to find what they call independent testing. Now, if you're Pfizer, what are you going to do? You're going to test your own drugs, put out your own reports, right? Makes perfect sense. Why on earth would you be a billion-dollar company and want somebody on the outside to independently review your product? The reality is an independent study is the only way you're going to get anything accurate, because a lot of these universities that do independent studies, they don't take money. You can't buy a result. When you're doing it yourself, what is your study going to do? It's going to line up with the end result that's going to line up your pocketbook, right? When it's an independent study, you're just doing the study. You put them out there. You publish it in a research paper. Whoever wants to read it, read it, reads it. Why do you think there's very few companies that buy or commission independent research? Because if their product isn't tested, why on earth would they want to expose their weaknesses? It was one of the reasons that Cornelia got me to take Juice Plus. And I'm not plugging that. It's just I don't eat the proper amount of vegetables and fruit that I should. So I started taking it because they had 15 or 20 independent research studies done. Nobody else would even dare to do it. So I thought, all right, I'll try taking it. Bottom line is the drug companies and most supplement companies will never, ever allow an independent research to be done. It would put them out of business. But how do you think all those people take their lavish vacations? How do you think they drive $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 cars, fly around in private jets on your dime? They do it because you're driven by fear. You take all this stuff because, oh, my grandfather had this and I don't want to catch that. You know, my grandpappy had a little heart flutter. I got to take something to prevent that. I'm not talking to the world here. I'm talking to believers in the Messiah. We have to be set apart. We have to be different. And it has to start with how we act, how we believe. Do we believe the book or not? That's what it's going to come down to. Do you believe what it says in the Bible? Or do you not believe what it says in the Bible? You don't get to take a vacation because you're broke after spending $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 on all the stuff, right? Revelation 18:23, for your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by sorceries were all the nations deceived. That verse should be committed to your memory.
Yes.
Earlier in Revelation, it says in verse 3, Revelation 18:3, because of her desires for extravagant luxury, the merchants of the world have grown rich. Who are these merchants that Revelation is talking about? Who are these men becoming rich selling sorceries? Pharmaceutical companies. On a lesser degree, the vitamin and supplement industry. Because while there are some things that are helpful to your body, the vast majority of them aren't going to do squat to help you. Sorry. If you're taking $500 a month worth of supplements, come talk to my wife. She kicked that habit because that's how much she used to spend. I used to shake my head, but you know what? I can't get her to buy a new piece of clothing to save my life, so I thought, well, it's a wash, right? I literally take her to the store to shop, and she won't buy anything. So I'm like, all right, get what you need to get. $500 a month on stuff that was not helping her. Now, there may be a few things. I'm sure that if you asked my wife, there'd be a couple different things that are helpful to get, especially if you, you might need to take some vitamin D if you don't like going into the sun, because the sun is free vitamin D. But this is something I want to talk about, because the medical industry and society as a whole has pitched us a bunch of lies. And we're going to talk about, I think, three of them right here. First lie is, cancer is a mystery and we have no idea how it's caused. That's a lie. The truth, almost all types of cancer are caused and are preventable by eating the proper foods and getting rid of toxic thinking in your mind. When you talk about, and this, I know very little about this subject, so forgive me, but I know a little bit about the Gerson Institute in Mexico, only because we know someone who went there. You go to the Gerson Institute, and they have a remarkably high rate of getting people cured from cancer, especially if you were to compare it to anything in the United States. Why is that? Their number one focus is on food, getting people to eat real live food and getting them off the junk that they've eaten for their whole lives. Lie number two, I'm genetically predisposed and I'll probably end up with the diseases of my parents or my grandparents. That's a lie from the pit of you know where. Remember that. It's a lie. It's no such thing. The truth is, we talked about this in series number one, in the first series. Epigenetics has already proven that in almost all cases, it's a lifestyle choice that determines what disease you will get. And as children of the Most High God, you shouldn't get any of it.
That's right.
I don't care what your parents had.
Amen.
Lie number three. How many have heard this one? Because I heard it my whole life. Sun exposure, too much sun exposure will cause cancer, skin cancer, right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, anybody has never heard that, raise your hand. I just want to see where you've been hiding. Anybody who's never heard that, raise your hand, please. Good, okay, thank goodness. Here's the truth. Sun exposure prevents skin cancer.
That's right. That's right.
You know what causes, one of the biggest causes of skin cancer is? Sunscreen.
Sunscreen.
Because they put toxic garbage in there that is not good for you. But let's take a look at what the scriptures have to say, because in Psalm 121:6 it says, the sun shall not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. How many people have this really weird idea that Abraham wore sunscreen? Yeshua? Anybody? No. You know, we complain, oh, I had a rough day. I worked 8 hours today on my feet all day. These people were in the field 14, 15 hours in the summer. They took a break to get some water, maybe use the restroom, eat, and go right back to working. We have no idea what hard work is, and many of them were in the sun all day. Psalm says the sun will not harm you. What do you believe, the doctors, or do you believe the Bible?
Amen.
It's your choice. You're not forced to believe what this says. God provided all the vitamins and the minerals that you need in a healthy, balanced diet, which must include raw fruits, vegetables, proteins, and even some of the benefits you can get from essential oils. He put that into our foods. And that's what we're going to focus on now, is the food portion of this. And this, we are just tipping it, just barely getting into it. It's impossible. Food could take us 3 weeks. That's not the goal. We're going to dig into it for about 15 minutes. And I want you to study this out for yourself. It's that important. Before we talk about real food and what is real food, let's talk about what's not real food. Real food is not genetically modified organisms.
That's right.
Now, a good majority of you have heard that term. GMO foods are all over this country. It's rampant. They've been trying to ramrod this through for a good 15, 20 years. It's not something new. It's just we're starting to recognize it. More than 95% of Americans don't have any idea what foods are genetically modified or not. And they're eating a diet that includes quite a bit of this without even realizing it. 95% is a high statistic. And you know what? That's Americans, and that includes people in this room too. It most likely includes you, because we aren't aware of what we have to do to look for it. They pushed legislation through to make it, well, they have to let you know it's genetically modified, but they've actually had it removed from the packages, but you have to go to their website. So if you really want to dig and spend a lot of time and you have all day long to do that stuff, you can find it. But who has time for that? Who has time to go digging through every single website and checking all that? We don't. So we got to take a look at what is typically, what the majority of time is GMO. How can we avoid it? And we need to make sure we avoid it if at all possible. The few times we can't avoid it, when we don't know, that's when our prayer will kick in. But I don't believe God will honor our prayers when we willingly violate His temple and have no concern about our own bodies. There's got to be a balance here, folks. And I'm not trying to talk you guys into becoming vegans. That's not my way of life. I would be a lousy vegan. I'd die of starvation, okay? But we have to learn balance. So, the farmers have been sold a bill of goods because they have been told that it's a more sturdy crop. It's healthier. It's going to produce more. You're going to get more yield of your crops. Okay? Now that, where does that come from? That comes from the drug company selling the GMO, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It's turned out that the independent people have found out that's not true. They aren't getting better yields of their crops. What they're doing is accomplishing their goals of making Monsanto and Dow Chemical a small fortune. And setting up the possibility of population control in the future if it goes that direction. Now, we don't harp on things like that, but we don't bury our head in the sand either, do we? We have to be aware there's a reason that they're putting this junk out there, and it has nothing to do with your well-being. In fact, GMO foods also have a nickname by some, Frankenfood. It's created in a lab. It's a hybrid. Most of the time, it's a hybrid. And does anybody know what God has to say about hybrid stuff? It's not good. He forbids it. Because this is the stuff he was thinking of when he did that. His instructions are always thinking of our good. He loves us that much. Now we're finding out evidence is piling up that these GMO foods are being linked to more diseases, especially in the gut area. Anybody have gluten problems? That's probably from GMO food. It's making us sicker. We don't even know it. You know, in Europe, it's banned. They won't even allow that stuff. They're like, that's not food. You can't have that here. In America, we welcome it. We fund it. They make so much stuff, so much money selling this stuff, they're never going to stop on their own. So our only alternative is to be aware, to learn, and to avoid it if at all possible. Their political action groups are going to way outspend the citizens of this country who are concerned about health. We're never going to defeat them on that front. But we can defeat them by not buying into it, right? You can defeat them by determining today, I want to do better with my body. I want to live to be healthy. Now, we've been great in this country at prolonging life. If you go back and look at what was life expectancy 100 years ago, what is it today? We live older. But how about the quality of that last 20 years? Is it a quality of life? That's what we're after as believers. You know, if the medical world, when it's absolutely needed, and when I follow God's principles, it's going to cause me to live into my 80s and 90s. I want to enjoy life in my 80s and 90s. I want to be able to enjoy my grandkids and maybe my great-grandkids. I want to still be able to chase my wife around the house. All right, that's too much information. All right. We have to take a look at the foods we're putting in our bodies. And when we take a look at junk food, you know, by the very definition of it, should we be putting it in our bodies? Yeah, I'm going to get a meal of junk. We could just call it trash food, right? Or garbage. We call it junk food, but yet we do it not once a week or once a month on a regular basis. And there are some... don't associate junk food with every single thing purchased in a fast food restaurant. There are some things you can purchase. When we are on the road and you have to get something to eat quick, my wife will order like a salad. And it's in a fast food restaurant. It doesn't mean everything on their menu is junk. But she has to consciously choose what she's going to order. If we take a look at some of these things going in, they can have terms like gluten-free or fat-free. You've all seen that, right? Half the time, those things are worse than their counterparts. They put chemicals and things into the ingredients that are worse than if you'd have just gone for the regular. Coke is terrible for you, but Diet Coke is like 100 times worse. My wife calls it liquid Satan. Because I used to drink a lot of it when we met. Today, I don't drink it anymore. But, you know, it wasn't because she nagged me. It's because the Father finally showed me, you know. Every once in a while when I feel like it, I'll have a regular soda. Moderation is where I'm going to fit in. I'm not going to be the hardline guy up here that is telling you, just go eat raw vegetables, grab it out of the garden, and chew on it. You cook it, you're ruining it. Like I said, I'd starve to death if I had to live like that. But we can use moderation. We can enjoy our life. Sugar, and a modest level at times, let's be honest, the Bible tells us when you go to the feasts, eat whatever your heart desires, right? That's because it's a time of festivity and joy. But does that mean we have to pick the 1,600 calorie dessert? No.
Yes.
Does it mean we have to gorge ourselves on all this stuff?
Yeah.
Somebody help me out. What does it say about a rebellious wife? So I thought, well, just for a few minutes, I'd make it easy on some of you, okay? Because, like, some of you, right now your mind's going, what in the world am I allowed to eat anymore? I'm not telling you what you can't eat, but I'm going to give you just a couple of examples, okay? Captain Crunch, Apple Jacks, and most other cereals, junk. Not good for you, not healthy. I kicked that habit. I still miss the Captain every once in a while, but I don't eat it anymore. Twinkies, Ho-Hos, and Little Debbies. I'm so sorry, men. Those are horrible for you. I had a guy told a story one time, and you know how you remember stories from 30 years ago and they have no relevance?
Yeah.
30 years later, it has relevance. This guy said, he goes, I was cleaning out my old Chevy van that was in my parents' house. He's 25 years old from my old high school days, and I was cleaning it out, and in a corner tucked away where I couldn't see it, what did I see?
A Twinkie.
And he goes, it looked exactly like the day it came out of the wrapper. I don't know how it got there, but he said, if no self-respecting germ will eat that, why would I want to eat it? And that stuck with me for 30 years. I don't know why that's sticking with me, but for today. Diet sodas, fat-free items, anything fried, these things are terrible for you. Alter your lifestyle. If you have to do it a little bit at a time, do it a little bit at a time. Don't let anybody condemn you. Alter your lifestyle. Make some changes. 90% of your current diets, my current diet, they're slowly eating away at our life. They're affecting our bodies because we've put too much of the stuff into our bodies that is not good for us. It's called MAD. The modern American diet, and it's killing most Americans, and it's doing it rather quickly for a lot of Americans. So what is real food? That's what we're going to talk about, because the Hippocratic maxim says, let food be thy medicine.
Yep.
Real food is going back to the basics of what the Father calls food, that he created for us, for you and I to eat and to enjoy. That's why he left us the instructions in chapter 11 of Leviticus. And sadly, we've been told a lie about that chapter. And I've heard my whole life, well, that's the chapter that tells the Jews what they can eat and what they can't eat. And that's a lie. Because that chapter was given to all the Israelites, which we know. But number two, if you read that chapter carefully, you know what's happening there. God is defining which animals are food, which animals should never be considered as food. You go into the modern menu and you open it up, and 3/4 of it we can't eat, but we just look at it as like it's a menu of food, and this is the food we can eat, this is the food we can't eat. It's not food, people. Get it
That's
in
right.
your head.
Right.
Pork is not food. Shrimp is not food. Shellfish, oysters, it's not food. The outbreaks going on in Hawaii now over the mussels coming in from the Philippines, it's because it's not food. These are bottom dwellers. They're scum suckers that clean the bottom of the ocean, and they're filters of toxins, and we're eating them like it's something that's good for us. If that was a tiny bit convicting, good. Go back and read Leviticus chapter 11. God loves you. God wants you to be healthy. He's doing it for your benefit. The things that we can eat are there so that they can give us a healthy life, that they can build our bodies up and the functions of the bodies and make us strong. The things that we're not supposed to eat, that are not food, are things that will tear away at your bodies, that will leave you with problems and issues. And the problem we face when we look at this dilemma, let's be honest, is what did I used to always say when I was 25 or 30 years old, Like, well, my grandfather smoked 3 packs of cigarettes, had three drinks of alcohol, ate bacon every day, and he lived to be 80. Who cares? He's one odd statistic. How many other people have gout? How many other people die prematurely from doing those things that are not good for you? Just because one person made it, why are we going to try to follow that one in a 10,000? We're just going to follow that because I want my bacon, my alcohol, and my cigarettes. Really? We have to understand that God did this for our benefit. So a little bit of sugar here and there, a little bit of the things that you love, that's not what I'm trying to condemn you or to make you feel guilty about eating, but a little bit of balance. Well, let's say a lot of balance. How about that? A little bit of sugar here and there in balance is not a problem. When I go back for 7 and 8 cookies, that's a little too much. When I have 2 or 3 cookies, you know, most people think it's cute. When I hit 6 and 7, people are like, what in the world's he eating? I guess I can't do that anymore, right, honey?
Yep.
Keep me in line. How about we try the unthinkable? Why don't we step out on a limb and try the unimaginable? Why don't we try to have a little bit of balance in our life? We don't have to become vegans, but we don't have to live like it doesn't matter what we eat either, right? We need to start learning how to eat to live and don't live to eat. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You eat to live because we need it to sustain our bodies. People who live to eat, there's other issues going on that are causing them and driving them to that. And we've talked about a little bit of them, and we'll probably be able to deal with that in more one-on-one after the series is over. So how does this all fit together? God designed us to operate efficiently in our bodies and in our spiritual minds if we follow His instructions. I mean, let's face it. If we really believe who He is, right? If we believe He's the God of the universe, He loves us, He cares about us, all His instructions are good, our lives and our minds and our bodies operate efficiently when we follow His instructions. And when we veer off path, that's when we get in trouble. You want to walk in His blessings? We have to walk in all of His statutes. You want to walk in the curses? Walk away from some of His statutes. It may not seem fair. On this side, we have to follow them all. You just decide you don't want to do this over here, and you're going to have to pay repercussions for it. Maybe not right away, but it will happen. The problem today is we don't want to take responsibility for what we put into our temple. And then we end up with problems. We run to the doctors. We got all these issues going on, and we want to go, well, God, why is this happening to me? If it hasn't happened to you, you've known people that that's happened to. The bottom line is, why would it not happen to you? We understand the principles now, and we understand that when we walk outside of God's, it's like being out in the rain. You got a big umbrella covering you, you're dry. But if you walk out from under that umbrella, how many people think you're still going to be dry? It's just the way our minds have worked over the last 20, 30, 40 years. We get this idea we're children of the Most High God. We can eat whatever we want. We're going to be fine. We can't. In order to start eating healthy and get rid of disease, possibly losing weight and keeping it off on a long-term level rather than just a short-term, we have to get a little beyond just thinking about what we're eating and thinking about the exercise we're going to do. We have to get to the root. We have to dig into why is this happening? Have I been going down this path? And address it with the Father and move forward from there. Why are we choosing to do what we do, to eat what we eat? Life is full of choices because God's given us free will. Free will does not mean we're going to be exempt from the consequences. I'm not here if it's for me. We're not exempt from the consequences. We still have to deal with the consequences, but we are given free will nonetheless. That free will, we've talked to many times, can be a blessing and it can be a curse, depending on which road you decide to follow. God does care what you put in your mouth, just like He cares what kind of drugs you put into your body, what alcohol you put in. A little bit of moderation, having drink, is permitted according to Torah. Excess is never permitted. Drunkenness is not permitted. Having a little bit of sugar is not a big deal. If you eat the whole cake, you got a problem. We have to learn that balance. Learn that balance. Yeshua came so you could have life and have it more abundantly. That's recorded in John 10:10. We know what the enemy wants to do, but here's the catch. That abundant life is up to you. He didn't come and automatically give it to you. He came and he provided it for you if you want to choose to walk in it. You get to determine how much of the scriptures you want to follow. And you men, as priests of your home, you get to determine if you're going to follow the God of the universe or are you going to follow Captain Crunch as your God. You get to determine if you're going to follow a healthy lifestyle for your family or you're going to determine that a happy meal is going to make you happy. You got to determine this for yourselves. And the men of the homes need to step up and set an example for their families. Let's close with the words from Paul, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. And it says, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body." Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this eighth part in the series. Let us truly learn and understand what your scriptures say about depending on man versus depending on you. I know that you have a desire that we would always lean to you, that we would always look to you for our answers and our solutions. But we've been brought up in a generation that has been taught never to look to you, Father, so forgive us. Forgive us for always running after the solutions that we were taught are the way that we're supposed to go with the drugs and poor lifestyle choices. Father, forgive us. But Father, also I ask that you would give us all a heart to seek you with all of our hearts. A heart that would seek to please you with your instructions the way you want to be pleased. I ask you to give us a heart to make the changes that may be painful at first, but we'll bring that abundant life that your Son promised us if we would follow him. Father, give us a heart to reach out to other people and share these truths with them in love too. But more than anything, Father, give us a heart to really dig deeper into this subject because we're just touching the surface. I pray that the people would have a desire to listen to some of this series over and over again. Get some other resources that talk about the same thing. Really do in-depth study so they can make permanent, lasting changes in their own lives and in the lives of their families, Father. That's the real miracle. And we will pray next week over the people and ask you to heal some of them. But Father, I know many of them you're going to want to walk out their healing. Give them a heart right now to start making those changes that are going to be necessary to walk out their healing. We give you all the honor and the glory for everything we teach here. And Father, I pray that it always is purely from your word and from your heart. And I'll leave with the Aaronic benediction. Yivarekha Yehovah v'yishmerecha. Yair Yehovah b'navalecha v'yichonecha. Yisa Yehovah b'navalecha v'yasem lacha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you and bring you his peace. Shem Yeshua. Amen and amen.
And I apologize to everybody for that rude call. Nobody ever calls me.